Hi, okay, welcome back to Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yomi, Daf Kuf Lamed 130. We're on a new parak here, and this parak talks about Bris Milah. Chachamim have a Mesorah that the mitzvah of Bris Milah overrides Shabbos when it's performed at its proper time on the eighth day after birth. Now, all the Chachamim accepted that tradition. There's a lot of details of it that's debated, including the handling of borderline cases, the real definitions of the act of Bris Milah, and the actions that are necessary for it. Several issues come up with regard to Bris Milah on Shabbos. The first is about situations which it's not entirely clear that there's a mitzvah to circumcise. Okay, so another issue comes up, whether the preparations for circumcision, they override Shabbos. The medical attention the baby's going to need, so on and so forth. Okay, a more fundamental, the question whether it's the mitzvah or also the preparations. Another issue is how broadly the circumcision overrides Shabbos. Does it override every stage of preparation, no matter how it's performed, anyone involved, who's involved in this in terms of it? So it's called Perek Reb Lezer Omer. So he says, "Im lo hevi kli me'erev Shabbos mevi'o me'Shabbos school." If he didn't bring the implement for circumcising the child on Shabbos, he could bring it on Shabbos itself, uncovered, so that it'll be clear to all that he's bringing it for Bris Milah. In a time of sakana, though, he can cover it, but make sure to show edim. We have a famous klal Rabbi Akiva: "Kol malacha she'efshar lasosa me'erev Shabbos ain't a doches to Shabbos umila she'efshar lasosa me'erev Shabbos." That's going to push over the Shabbos. See, boil who time the Rebbe. What's the reason for Rebbe Lezer that a scalpel has to be uncovered? So is it because chibuve mitzvah, because the love of the mitzvah, and therefore you want to publicize it? Or dil mishum chashada, or people will suspect you? Okay, time the Raisa. Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Kol mitzvah shekiblo aleim besimcha kagon mila," he says, "sasa nochi aleim resecha kamotzei shalal rav," that I rejoice that your word is one who finds great booty of war. They still would do it b'simcha. And any mitzvah which they accept with fighting, for example, arayas, which they didn't want to have to keep, still today very contentious. Okay, mitzvah shemasri Yisrael atzman alein lemisa b'shas k'zeres amalchus, like avodah zarah and mila, adayin hu mechzek kesvi, it's still being held in their hand. Any mitzvah which is not handed to Yisrael atzman lemisa, which they did not give their lives over for death in a time of shemad, like tefillin, it's still very weak in terms of their keeping. Dam Rav Yanai, tefillin tzrich and guf naki, tefillin needs a clean body, like Elisha bal knafayim, like Elisha the man of wings. What is he? What is this requirement to have a clean body? So Abaye says, "Shelo yafiach lami," one shouldn't pass wind to them. Rav says he shouldn't sleep in them. Amai Karli, why do they call him Elisha the man of wings? Because on one occasion, the wicked empire of Rome had a decree against the Jewish people, and as a punishment, they would pierce the brain of anyone who puts tefillin on his head. Nevertheless, Elisha would put them on and defiantly go out in the marketplace. And one day, an official who was appointed to enforce the decree saw him. Elisha ran away from the official and went after him. When the officials reached him, Elisha removed the tefillin from his head and held them in his hand. The officer asked him, "What's in your hand?" Elisha said to him, "It's a dove's wings." And a miracle took place. He opened his hands, and indeed, it was dove's wings. He's called Elisha bar Knafayim. So whether or not what Rabbi Elazar did was shalo baratzon or baratzon. It's interesting, whenever you do something against the ratzon or differently from what the mainstream halacha is, but you're doing it als frumkeit, is that applauded or not? Reminds me of the minyanim with the COVID when it was not allowed. Okay, we told the story of Elisha bal Knafayim. The Gemara relates how the tefillin of a man named Elisha miraculously turned into wings of a dove when he was accosted by a Roman official during a time of persecution. At some point, the miracle is that his tefillin appeared in the eyes of the Roman official to be the wings of a dove. See the Machsa Shekel. And the Gemara explains they became wings of a dove because just as the wings of a dove protect the dove, so do the mitzvahs protect the Jewish people. Now, why is the concept that the mitzvahs protect the Jewish people mentioned specifically with regard to the mitzvah of tefillin? So the Gemara in Bracha 6a says that the Pasuk, "All the nations of the world will see the name of Hashem as a koru lecha," refers to the tefillin shel rosh. And we learn from there that the tefillin protect us by causing the nations to fear us. Tosfos explains the Gemara differently. According to Tosfos, the dove does not fight with its wings, but rather its wings protect it in the following way. Birds may become overcome by predators while they're at rest, but not while in flight. And the dove is able to rest one wing at a time while it stays airborne with the other wing. It doesn't need to rest in the ground, and that way the wings protect it. Similarly, when the Jews are not performing one mitzvah, they're performing another mitzvah. The concept may be related especially to tefillin in the following way. The Gemara in the Rishonim said that Elisha removed only his tefillin shel rosh. So apparently he didn't remove his tefillin shel yad because the official couldn't see what he was wearing, the tefillin on his arm. Since tefillin shel yad are worn under the garment and not exposed like the tefillin shel rosh. So in that way, the analogy of the wings to the dove is very accurate. Elisha was still flying with one wing, so to speak, while resting the other, since he was still wearing the tefillin shel yad, even when he was forced to remove tefillin shel rosh. It should be noted that the Ritva writes that this Gemara is the source for the manner in which we wrap our tefillin shalrosh. We wrap the straps of the shalrosh around either side of the tefillin so that they form the shape of wings of a dove. That minhag is also cited by the Magen Avraham in the name of the Mata Ephraim. The Gemara says that any mitzvah the Jewish people accepted with simcha, such as the mitzvah of milah, they still accept besimcha. Why does the Gemara emphasize that they still accept besimcha? Why should they not accept a besimcha? Well, why does the Gemara emphasize that any mitzvah the Jewish people accepted with strife, they're going to still accept with strife? So the Vilna Gaon in his Divrei Eliyahu says that according to the Gemara in Nida 31b, the reason the Torah commands us that a son be circumcised on the eighth day is because on that day the parents experience a great increase in their joy, since the 7 days of Tumas Leida have passed, and they could once again be together. Nowadays, the practice is not to observe the days of Dam Tohar, but rather to wait until any flow of Dam has ceased, and then to count 7 clean days. A husband and wife can never be together on the eighth day after birth, and nevertheless, the Gemara tells us they still do the mitzvah of Milah with Simcha. When the Jewish people accepted the laws governing immoral relations with relatives with dispute and strife, because at that time people had a strong Yetzirah for marital relations with their slaves. And the Gemara tells us, however, the Yetzirah was removed by Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Nevertheless, the Jewish people still accept the laws of marriage only be ketata, with the same strife.